Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And it's the end of the year, beginning of a new year, and there are cycles to be concerned about because we're in cycles all the time. And what do they mean? How can we learn about cycles? Even though we're in them, we don't always know we're in them. So what is the cycle of this new year? What is it being cycled toward or from? And to help us understand that, we have a guest on the line who is a cycles expert, and his name is David Katzmeier. David, welcome. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, David.
Hiya.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Yes, indeed.
So cycles are a huge part of our lives. Most people aren't in touch with the cycles other than experiencing them.
Yes.
And then there are some people who actually study them.
Yes.
And you're one of those guys.
Yes.
So what we want to learn about is what cycles are we in, or more so, where is it leading us? What kind of life are we going to have this next year based on cycles?
Wow, that's a great question, Peter. The cycles that are all around us are within us as well. And we would do well to pay a little more attention to the internal clockwork of the society in which we live, in the world in which we live. This is something that's not taught so frequently in contemporary Western views of history. Yet there was a time when cycles was very much a part of analyzing the turns of civilizations.
And there were people who were sophisticated at it in those
there
days.
There were. Yes, indeed.
And what about nowadays? How sophisticated are we at understanding these cycles?
Well, we're becoming more so now, but I think we're coming out of a period of where we have had pretty much a flat two-dimensional view of events. We tend to see things as strictly a linear progression of cause and a response, rather than seeing that different changes might all be part of the same system, not really an action, reaction, response, but part of an ordained order that has itself a beauty, a motion, and a music, as it were, throughout the universe.
Now, you've developed a system that understands some of these cycles called calorhythms.
Yes.
And we've talked about it before, and what are the different kinds of calorhythms that you have?
Okay, a calorhythm comes from the Sanskrit kal, K-A-L-A, and you pronounce the second A when you put any word after it. In this case, I synthesized the word calorhythms, and I chose the word from Sanskrit because from Sanskrit, there are so many writings that are deep and rich in the studying of cycles, which is kalpa, and through the rhythms of the universe, aspects have been deified, and they've been written about to look at internal rhythms within ourselves and within the world around us.
Now, there are different kinds of rhythms.
There are. And the particular kind of rhythms that I'm looking at is a set of rhythms that moves within an individual, and in that case, that would be biorhythms, which became very popular in the 1970s. And my point of view, looking at biorhythms, the changes of physical highs and lows, emotional highs and lows, and intellectual highs and lows that occur within each one of us, and a rhythmic clockwork that begins from the day we're born, is a form of a calorhythm.
And see, this is what a lot of people don't understand, because we go through these cycles in our lives, and they happen frequently. How long does it take for a physical cycle versus an emotional cycle versus a mental cycle
Yes. This is something that was discovered through observations of human behavior over many years, beginning in the middle of the 19th century. But what has been put together, sometimes with different studies coming up with the exactly same durations, we have learned that within us, from the day we're born, we have a 23-day physical cycle of highs and lows, greater energy and lower energy. And we have a 28-day emotional swing in our moods and our level of emotional energy. And we have a 33-day cycle of highs and lows, which students have been found to test better during the peak than at the lows and so forth. So 23-day physical, 28-day emotional, 33-day intellectual cycle, moving as our internal clockwork from the day we're born.
I remember I was looking at these biorhythms for one of my clients who was competing in a world championship.
Yes.
And I said to her, the day of your finals of the event that you're in this world championship, you're going to be at a physical low.
Mm-hmm.
And so I recommended a strategy based on that.
Yes.
That actually helped her run a good race.
That is using cycles, Peter. Understanding where you are in the internal clockwork as you meet the external demands. That's using cycles.
Right, because when you're at a peak in peak performance, you want to be at a high, but if on that day you're at a low,
yes,
on the day that you need to draw on it, what do you do? And it's really about having a strategy that says you're not going to be able to bully your way through this event, but you can cruise through it and then attack at the end with what you got left.
Exactly. And if you're going into a physically demanding contact sport or any kind of competitive event, it might do you well to play defensive when you can, and then look for an ingenious strategy to zero in, pinpoint, and focus your attack energy with bursts, rather than demanding that you sustain an aggressive offense throughout. Adapt what you're doing with the knowledge of where you are, and you're using your resources to their potential.
Yeah. So, well, that's physical, and now we're looking at the planet, and we're looking at this country, and we're saying, where are we? What do we expect? What's going to happen next? No, people are nuts about where we've been, what's happening, where it's going. We have no idea. It's the economy could go through the ceiling or go through the roof. Floor. Most people don't expect it to go through the ceiling.
When we're looking at understanding where we are, while being moved by forces outside of and greater than ourselves, we have to consider the context of time. When we're looking at our internal rhythms, we can find through observation that we have highs and lows of 23 days, 28 days, 33 days for physical, emotional, intellectual. But what happens when we are moving as a group, as a society, in a nation? And what happens when we look at the changes of world civilization? There we find greater institutions are slower to change. So, what if it is true, as many philosophers from Giovanni Battista to Oswald Spengler have said, that a nation has a character of people? What can we look at to understand the character of a nation? To do that, we would understand our own character. And influencing our character, we have found internal rhythms, biorhythms that move from the day we're born. But remember, the societies in which we are placed are greater and outside of ourselves and moving to slower rhythms. So if there is a fractal relationship between the character of a person and the character of the nations we build, then we would indeed find that there are ups and downs, highs and lows in a nation, that there is a body of a nation, a heart of a nation, a mind of a nation, moving as a collective consciousness towards a common future. When we look at that, we must understand that the greater the body, the slower the rhythm. Therefore, the rhythms of change happen over many years.
Now, you've mapped these rhythms of the United States, And you know where we're at, don't you?
I believe I have identified the manifestations of energy that are moving with periodicity, beginning with the American Revolution. The answer to your question is yes, I do believe. I know where we are in terms of the physical, emotional, and intellectual highs and lows of the United States as a nation.
All right. Now, and how about the world? Is there a... Are there cycles of the whole planet?
The fractal relationship means that it goes on through many levels. If we look beyond the rhythms of our nation or the rhythms of any nation around the world, each of which has its own internal rhythms, what do we say about the era in which all nations are moving?
Yeah.
When you look at the rhythms of nations, you're talking about changes of highs and lows that don't last 23, 28, and 33 days. You're looking at highs and lows that take so many decades to reach their peaks and lows and to cycle through a physical, emotional, and intellectual change. Every nation having a 28-year physical change, a 36-year emotional change, a 44-year emotional change, decades before they go through a complete revolution of each cycle. Now, that's every nation has these durations from the birth of that nation or a point of revolution to which it becomes a totally new nation. But to answer your question, now that we've established a fractal relationship, a biorhythms of a nation, if you will, going from so many weeks to so many decades before they complete, the world at the same time is showing these same rhythms as we look into changes of civilizations, whether it's the rise and fall of Rome or whether we're going into a Baroque era, a Romantic era, or the Industrial Revolution, which we are seeing decline. We are now looking at the same rhythms in a grander scale, only now in the world arena, it takes hundreds of years for the physical, emotional, and intellectual aspects of the world to change.
Well, it feels like everything is changing very fast right now.
Yes, it is.
And our economy, people are predicting our economy to fall apart this year completely.
Well, the worst of it is now. The most turbulent time is now. We're not accustomed to seeing the world change fundamentally so rapidly. Even in times of war, when you have competing powers seeking to assert themselves and to acquire new land and to spread their culture or their economic systems, what you will, this is still a bit unusual to see the base of civilization as we know it change rapidly. And why is that? Well, it's because of the nature of cycles. When cycles do more than merely rise and fall with tides of energy influencing the output levels of what we do in the respective things that we can call physical, emotional, and intellectual in the development of our societies, they also go through stages of development, a pattern by which we build up and decline. What is very important about this pattern of building up and declining and back again is that there is an equator, if you will, between the highs and lows. Imagine a sine wave going up and down that at the middle point has to pass through a brief transition of crisis when it is crossing from the low half up into the high or from the high half back down to the low.
So what you're saying is that we don't necessarily need to look as much as at the highs and the lows, because those are pretty obvious, but it's where we're in transition between the high and low and the low and high, right in the middle of those transitions, that we're feeling it the most.
Exactly, because as you're going up a high, that takes a long time of building upon building and so forth, or as you go to a low, as you cut back or have reforms and so forth, it takes a long period of time in respect to a human lifetime for that. Until you hit that brief point between low and high and high and low, and what happens? It's a storm. And when that happens, you have a very abrupt shakeup. And that's necessary in order to get out of a low. You have to have the birth pangs of a new era. Or to end the heyday of a high, you have to have castles tumbling before we pull up the drawbridge, go inward, cut back, and look back to reflect and reform what we've done as we decline our energies. It happens right now that a very rare event is going on.
Uh-huh.
Now, fractal relationship again. If you're in your biorhythms and you have a crossover of the physical cycle on a day, it lasts one day. You might be all thumbs. Or if you have a crossover, crossing up or crossing down, in your emotional cycle, you're going to be in a bad mood. You might get angry. You might break into tears. If you have an intellectual crossover day from high to low or vice versa, you might have a crisis in decision, and you might not make the best choices. However, this happens to nations, and it happens to the world civilization.
Well, it feels like we're in it.
Well, in the world civilization, and you have a crossover of any of the three great cycles, it takes 12 years to pass through it. We have a physical cycle which had been high for the last couple hundred years. This is a 336-year cycle influencing the things of our society that are physical. And what that has meant for us is that it was the machine age. Might makes right. The rise of the industrial revolution directly follows the upward course of this 336-year cycle. The emotional cycle is 432 years long. And if it's high, we've got romantic eras and heyday in the arts. If it's low, we have a repressive Victorian era. And then there is the 528-year intellectual cycle. When it's rising, we have Descartes, we have Shakespeare, we have the Baroque era and Bach. And when it's low, well, we've got sort of what we're coming out of. In other words, Peter, you know, for the lifetime of many of us, the world cycles were such that the physical energy was high in the world, while the emotional energy and the intellectual energy of the world was low. What does that mean? That means physical high, emotional, intellectual low is we outbuild our own sense.
We were idiots.
Well, yes, and we strip mine. We poison the air and the waters, and we drive animals to extinction, and we have radioactive deposits and so on and so forth. But it makes money. And, you know, conspicuous consumption and materialism, these are physical values, and that is what ruled the world. Now, what's happening is a very rapid wake-up call, because from a 12-year period, from 1978 until 1990, we went through a downward crossover of this great physical cycle. And what happens when castles crumble on the way down? Rapid change means the fall of the wall in Berlin. It means standing up to tanks in Tiananmen Square. It means the Kremlin is surrounded by tanks that were going to take it over, you know, post-Glasnost and so forth, and the revolution, and the fall of the Soviet Union. And then the guys in the tanks got out of the tanks and said, this doesn't feel right. We're not going to take them. What the heck? You got the Kremlin. That's it. Let the country go. Because we're not going to do this anymore. Why? Because it isn't time for the Iron anymore. So what does that mean as we are declining and giving up the industrial revolution that we have known? And what are we connected still, Peter?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I heard it on my phone. Okay. What that means is that we're in a transitional point coming up on a new era. And that new era will be defined by what the other cycles, other than the physical and the intellectual, are doing. And what they are doing is we're seeing an event right now from 2000 to 2012, an event that's so rare it's thousands of years before you see such a thing happen. That is, Peter, the great emotional cycle is crossing up through a period of transition to break back into a new high F that we haven't seen for more than two centuries. But at the same time, the great intellectual cycle is also breaking up into the high half, giving us two great cycles in a period of transition right now for a 12-year period. That's why change is so rapid.
For the next 12 years?
It began in 2000. And, you know, with the emotional cycle, which influences religion, you're going to have holy wars because there's a period of agitation, emotional upset, and this often leads to war or upset. So give you an example. The last time the emotional cycle crossed through that midpoint, it was crossing down, and we had the French Revolution, you know, which what people were very upset over the opulence of those in Europe who were, you know, basically living off the backs of the poor. And they said, well, we're going to bring this down. Well, now it's crossing up, and there's emotional and religious fervor shaking up the world energies. And so now we're seeing battles not between nation states of the military-industrial complex and competing with another, but over ideologies. I mean, many times the attackers cannot even be identified as to what nation from which they come. And that's because it's not geopolitical, it's ideological political in the emotional transition. But if that's not enough, wait, there's more. Crisis and chaos coming your way. Why? Because at the same time, in this rare event of a double crossover, the intellectual cycles crossing over, causing a calamity in business and banking and the 2008 property real estate collapse in the United States, which was worldwide, bringing down the government of Iceland and so forth. And this is a world transition as we shift our economies.
Yep. So now, what does that mean?
That means that what you're going to see is a shift of power between East and West, which something that there's a 528-year cycle. China is primarily intellectually based in its many aspects of it as a character of a nation. That means that what was called the sleeping giant, while the intellectual cycle was low, is now the world leader. They're calling it the second greatest power. I do believe they're already the first because they own so much of our economy. And this is going to continue because China will continue its obvious rise with the intellectual high that we're going into, the new age of reason that we're going to, that will last for more than 200 years. That's the intellectual cycle. Also rising in this is India rising with the emotional cycle. This is a nation that's character is a very romantic devotion in its worship, or bhakti, to use the Sanskrit. And India will continue to rise with the emotional cycle as China continues to rise with the intellectual cycle. And these are the world leaders that we're going to see for the next 200-plus years.
Now, intellectual and emotional is not physical.
We were primarily physical because it was our industrial might that had world leadership kind of dumped in our laps after World War II because we emerged victorious after a lot of hard fighting. And so when there's a revolving spotlight, whereas sometimes the strong will lead, sometimes the spirited will lead, and sometimes the smart will lead. Well, for this past as long as we can remember in the last so many generations, it's been a day for the strong to lead. Enter the United States, world leader. That's not the case anymore. Rock, paper, scissors. Strong, you get the back of the line. The slow one now will later be fast. The first one now will later be last. The times they are changing. Thank you, Bob Dylan. Enter the arena, the new age of romanticism, the new age of reason, and the rise of India and China. And it takes a rapid transition to break up the old order to allow for the new. And we've got, you know, another 2 years of this transition to do almost.
So where is the United States in these other rises of emotion and intellect? And here the United States has been on power, and it's losing that. So what
do we have to bank on going forward?
We must choose from column A or column B or be taken to the cleaners, as China is rising in the world to be taken very seriously, and they're earning it. We have a choice in the United States. Are we going to cling to our industrial past and our materialism and decline?
All right. So there are forces at work in this country that are challenging us on every level. Hello, David. Oops. I guess I've lost you. Okay. So I will talk until David comes back online. And in the United States, we have competing forces for power, for intellectual, and for emotional. And they're all competing right now with each other. Of course, there are the conservatives that want to keep it powerful. And you know, that's a tribal mentality of war. And so there are a lot of people who believe that, you know, we can still maintain our power. But we can't do that if we don't have the intellectual or the emotional support. Hello, David, are you back?
Peter?
Yes, good, you're back.
Yeah, we're having a little trouble with our lines because of massive snowstorms here.
Yeah.
Yesterday I tried to call New York and New York was closed.
Okay.
I'm sorry, New York will be closed because of snow.
I was just talking about that in this country there are these that people are competing at the on these different rhythms, and the conservatives, for instance, are looking to maintain power, and it's a tribal language of war that they and it's conservative, so it reaches and it's that's reactionary, so it reaches back to the past to hold on to whatever the strength was.
We can't hold on to the past. You know, we can learn from the past. But in the era of rapid transition, we have got to make the, we have got to abandon the past or become part of it. And this is not slow moving during a crossover. This is rapid moving, and this is why it's caught so many people by surprise. The thing about understanding cycles, when you can see that a high period is about to end or a low period is about to end, and that we're going to go to that particular point of rapid change and crisis and transition, and it begins at this time, you can prepare for it, and you can understand what we're going through. So,
all right,
that's
well,
important.
What does it look like for us, like in this coming year?
In this coming year, we are...
Oh, by the way, we only have a few minutes left.
Okay. In this coming year, really what we need to do is to, well, in my analysis is to cut back excessive spending and just put our resources on things that are reliable so that we can make the transition from growth-dependent, material-based philosophies to one that is consider what's going to happen seven generations down the road and go for the long-term strategy. One of the best things that we can learn is don't go for the short term, go for the long-term
strategy.
But we're
not used to that.
Exactly.
So it might not happen.
That's right. We could continue to decline with the decline of the physical cycle. And we would have to choose a path that is completely unfamiliar to us.
That's called intellectual.
That's correct.
Right. So right now the intellectual isn't, it may be gaining power, let's hope it is, but
yes,
it hasn't been for
that's
a while.
Right.
So that's very interesting. So this coming year we have to root for, you know, being smarter about everything and not relying on the old ways.
Not relying for quick return and instant gratification, consider the long term and how what we're doing is going to affect the generations ahead. So get out of debt, stop overspending, and consider the generations to come. It's the most important lesson for 2008,
that's
national level and individual life.
David Katzmeyer, thank you. Kala Rhythms, how can people reach you?
KALARhythms.org. Kala Rhythms.
energystew.org.
Okay, David. Thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew.
Yes, indeed.
And this is Peter Roth, your host at Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network. And I can be reached at Peter at Heart River, HEART River.org. And thank you so much for listening.